Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Sanhedrin Mem Dalid. We begin on the second line, Chata Yisrael, back to the story of Achan, who violated the Cherem and partook in the loot from the city of Yerichai, and subsequently our nation suffered a great tragedy during the war with Ai, as we're going to see later. Ultimately, he was caught and he confessed and he was put to death by way of Sekila. Now, the Pasuk describes him as follows. Chata Yisrael, Hashem speaking to you, Yeshua, you should know, Yisrael sinned. Why Chata Yisrael? To teach us that even when a person sins, he still maintains that lofty title of Yisrael. His essence, his very core, is not affected by his Avera. He still retains that Yichus, that value, and his Yisrael identity is unaffected. Chata Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zabda. Afa Pisha Chata. Even Chas V'Shalom, when a person strays, it's secondary to the real sense, self. His core is still maintained. Yisrael, he still identifies as a Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Avo, Hayinu Damri Inshi, says Rabbi Avo, this fully jives with the commonly expressed sentiment. Hayinu Damri Inshi, Asa, you have a Hadas, right, a myrtle branch. Dekai Beni Chilfi, growing amongst, you know, low quality plants, aravais, right? Does it get affected by them? No, absolutely not. He maintains his identity, maintains his status. Aso Shme, he's still called a Aso, he's still a Hadas. Vaso Korle, we still call him Hadas. A Yisrael, even if he's Chas V'Shalom immersed in Aveira, he's still considered a Yisrael and still contains that Helig and Hashem unaffected by anything. And Hashem continues, Chata Yisrael, right? And the Pasuk says, V'gam Avru as Berisi, they violated my bond, Asher Tzivisi Oysam, they took from the Cherem, etc., etc. Gam Avru es Berisi, Asher Tzivisi Oysam, right? Gam Lokal Men HaCherem, they took from the Cherem, Gam Gunvu, Gam Kichashu, Gam Soma Bechle, Omar Bala, Mishon B'Yidah Bar Mas Misparta. We learn, Milamed She'avar Ochoin Al Chamisha Chom She'Toyra. He violated the entire content of Ochamisha Chom She'Toyra, Shenemar, Chamisha Gam, it says that he violated Brisi, which is my Torah, and then we have five mentionings of the word Gam. Gam, 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 and Gam. So that tells us that, right? It tells us that he was over on five Chamashim. Vama Rabbi Lo, Mishun Vidaba Bar Misparta. Achain, what else was he guilty of? Moshech Bar Losei Haya. He would pretend that he didn't have a bris mila, he would extend his arla over the bris. Ksivhacha Vagam Avras Brisi, he violated bris. Ksivhasim as Brisi Hifar, by a person who refrains from doing a bris mila. So you see that he was guilty of that too. Pshita, obviously, it says bris in the pasuk. Once we've established that he was over all five chumashim, which includes anything, including bris mila, so why do you have to go and point out this additional Ma'od HaTema? Perhaps I would think a bris is different. The mitzvah de gufei leipaka, perhaps he did not abandon a personal mitzvah, a mitzvah which relates to his own body. Perhaps he didn't go that far. Kamashim on the point is he did. What else did he do? Also nevola. He was involved in nevola by Israel. What is that? Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Malamed. We learn Shabal Ochanara Murasi. He was physically involved with an engaged girl, ksivhacha v'chiasa nevola. We have the lashon nevola here, ksivhasam, and find elsewhere a similar term relating to this type of activity, kiasa sa nevola b'Yisrael. Pshita, obviously, again, if he was over all chamisha chamshei Torah, that's included. Again, ma'udatei, perhaps I would think, well, kulei hai lepokar nafshei, to this extent, he didn't stray that far, kamashman, the point is that he did. Ravina Amar, dinei kinar morasa. The reference to Nevola, Aramaras, doesn't mean he was actually engaged in this type of activity, but it means that ultimately his fate matched that of an Aramaras who strays Dibis Skila, because in both cases, Skila was the process applied. Amar Lev Reshkalusa Rafuna. So the head of the Golos, the head of the community, turned to Rafuna with an interesting question pertaining to the story of Achan Ksiv. It says, Vayikach Yeshua. So Yeshua took as Achan ben Zerach, right, and all his possessions, as Akesem, as Aderes, the silver, the garment, the gold, as Bonav, as Bnoisav, and his family, as Sherev, as Chamer, as animals, as Tsoinim, as Aholoi, as Kalashaloi, all his possessions, and he was stoned, and they were burnt, and all that. Why was his family included? Imhu Chata, just because he strayed, Bonav, Bnoisav, Machata, what wrong did his children do? Amalei, so Ravuna responded with Tamech, according to your understanding, how do you understand why the entire nation was culpable? Imhu Chata, just because he sinned, Kol Yisrael Machata, why are we incriminating all of Kol Yisrael? Chsiv, Kol Yisrael, Imoy, everybody had to be present. Elok Adelur Doysen, it wasn't to kill them, it was just to sort of give them a strong warning. Let them be present and witness his downfall, and this will discourage them from doing likewise. Achanami as well, regarding his family, it was just to give them that seriousness, Kedelur Doysen, to prevent them from doing that again. Okay, Vayisrafu Oysam Ba'ish, Vayisku Oysam Avonim. So fire was applied, stoning was applied, Betarti. Why was he killed two times? Amaravina. I mean, to say like this, Haroi Lestrefa, materials that could be burnt. Lestrefa, so those possessions were burnt. Haroi Leskila, things that can be stoned, like the man himself and his animal. Leskila, Leskila was applied. So what did he take from the Chayrim? Va'era Bashalal, I saw amongst the loot, Aderes Shin Ar Achas Toiva, this really elegant looking coat, Umasayim Shkolim Kosev, and 200 coins. Rav Omar, what is this Aderes made of? It's still the Milsa, a beggar made from clean, fresh wool from a newborn sheep. Shmuel Omar, Sarbala de Trifa, was some overcoat, upper robe, made from wool, which is dyed with something called serif. Vayatzikim upnei Hashem, Amar Rav Nachman, what does that mean? Bo v'chavotam. Yeshua took all these items, and he slapped them on the ground upnei Hamokim before Hashem, so to speak, and presented sort of an argument. Amar Lefanav, he turned to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, al eilu taharig rubish el Sanhedrin, because of this, you know, these couple of items, it had such a strong negative consequential effect that most of the Sanhedrin got killed because of that. The pasuk says, "Vayakum him anshi ay kishleishim shishu ish." The people of Ai struck 36 of our men. Betani we learned in a brisa, shleishim shishu mamish, 36 actual people, most of the Sanhedrin. Dibur Rabbi Yuda, Amalei Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Nechemya disagrees. It wasn't literal. It wasn't really 36. V'chi shloishim v'shlisha hayu. Do you mean it was actually 36 dayanim? Pasuk doesn't say so. V'alekval nemer. The pasuk says Ella ki, right, with a kaf. It was like kishloishim v'shisha ish. Rather, Ella zayor ben Menashe. They killed. They struck down a great tzaddik, Yor ben Menashe, who's valued. His personal value is like 36 of the Sanhedrin. Kshashakul keneged rubesh of Sanhedrin. And he got killed during the Milcham of Ai, which triggered this whole process, ultimately identifying Achan as a violator. Amar Nachman Amar Rav. Maidechsev. How do we explain the pasuk in Mishlei? Tachnunim yidaber rush. A lowly person, a humble person, speaks softly. V'asher yana asus. Wealthy man, that's haughty, and he responds forcefully. How do we apply this pasuk? One part on Moshe Rabbeinu, one part on Yeshua. Tachnunim yidaber rush, who's that? Ze Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu said the Mefarshim, the Adrama explained, because he had so many positive experiences with Klal Yisrael, so many Tovei, so many Nisim. He felt humbled, and he spoke that way. V'asher yana azus, but Yeshua, who was sort of fresh on the scene and had just begun leading Klal Yisrael, didn't have that same, you know, long experience of Nisim, so he was more, spoke more with confidence. V'asher yana azus, say Yeshua, my time. And what do we find that Yeshua had that approach? Ilayma b'shun d'chsev ha'yitzikim v'nei Hashem, was because of the aforementioned exchange with Hashem, that he was forcefully sort of presenting an argument to Hashem. V'amar v'nachman, right? Bo v'chavotam v'nei Hamokim, as we just said, he took the items and he tossed it down. He said, Hashem, is this reason to kill so many people, so many, right? Is that what we're referring to? Really? Atu Pinchas lo'yavad hachi, what we find in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu also, Pinchas. approach things in a similar vein. We have a pasuk, Vayamad Pinchas Vayefalo, that the Yotzamra gave. So Pinchas got up and was Vayefalo, and brought about the ending of the plague. What does Vayefalo mean? Vamar Belazar, Vayespalel Leinemar, rather than saying Vayespalel, indicating tefillah, it doesn't say that. Ela Vayefalo. Yefalo is a lashon of plealers, of argumentations, a judgment, a debate. Malamish also plealers. He made sort of a debate, a din. Kabayocha, like a confrontation, in koine with Hashem, and he presented an argument. Uvavachavatan, he killed, right, Zimri and Cosby, right? So after he killed them, he took them, he sold them, and he slapped them down. And he presented Hashem with them, and he says, because they did something wrong, 24,000 Yidden should die because of that. How many died above Esrim Elav? So he wasn't the first one, so why do we apply it only on Yeshua, when really this type of argumentative approach and strong forced tefillah preceded him by Pinchas' times. Ve'elamach, rather, we find a different reason. Lama havar to haver samazes hayarden. So after this happened by the melcham of the Ai, Yeshua turned to Hashem, why did you take us across the Yarden? So it was a strong argument, and you know, well, says the Gemara, it wasn't the first time. Moshe Rabbeinu already presented a similar argument. Moshe Nami, Meima Amar, Lama Reisim Lama Zeh, when it became difficult in Mitzrayim, he says, Hashem, why did you send me to them? Why did you make it more difficult? So again, it was preceded by a previous, similar event in history. Ela mihacha, rather, the reason why we apply this pasuk specifically to Yeshua, v'lu ha'alnu v'aneshev eva ha'yarden, after they were struck down at the Melchama of Ai, he turned to Hashem, it would have been better to stay on the other side of the Yarden, so it was a bit strong and forceful, and that's why this pasuk is applied to him. V'yemer Hashem al Yeshua, kum lach. Hashem turns to Yeshua, get up, why are you lying on your face. Dorash Rabbi Shila. What was the message here? Amar Le'akadosh Baruch Hu, he turns to Moshe, to Yeshua, Shalcha Kashem Shalahem. Kum Lecha, what you did is more severe than what they did. Why? Because remember, Hashem told Yeshua to take stones and place them right beside the Jordan River when they cross and record on it the entire Torah. I told you, do it as soon as you cross the Yarden. And you took your time. It was only 60 mil later, all the way by Shechem, right? The Har Gerizim and Har Evel. That's why they finally established these big boulders with the Torah. Too long, too late. So that was some complaint on Yeshua himself, his own behavior. Now, Rav disagreed with Rav Shila. He says, no. So after Rav Shila left the room, Rav asked the announcer to get up. They used to have an amir, like a maturgamon. The Rav would speak in a soft voice, and the fellow with the loud voice would go and announce it. They didn't have, it was instead of a PA system. Vidarash, and he announced the following point. Pasuk says that Yeshua followed everything to the T, exactly as Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe es Avdoi, kein tziva Moshe es Yeshua, lechein osu Yeshua. Hashem instructs Moshe, Moshe instructs Yeshua, who follows to the T. Why is there dava mikol Hashem tziva Hashem es Moshe? He didn't deviate even an iota from Hashem's instruction. So you can't say that Yeshua unnecessarily delayed the erecting of the stones. And he came out amar loymar kum lecha. So what then did Hashem mean when he said kum lecha? Amar loy. He meant to tell him like this, Ata garamta lahem. You know, who caused this whole thing? Who brought this whole thing about? Who was Goyrim that Achan should violate the Cherem that was applied to the loot taken from Yericho? It wasn't instructed by Hashem. This Cherem was your proposal. So, had you not made that Cherem, we would not be holding at this place. Vayna deka amrle. You should not have made your own Cherem. And that's why Hashem tells Yeshua the next time around, Ba'ai in the war during the Ai time, Vasisal Ai Lamalka, Kasha Sisal Yericho Lamalka. Do away with Ai and its king, just like Yeshua, just like you did by Yericho, destroy them. But, Pasuk continues, take their loot. Don't overstep, don't add additional unnecessary bans which can lead to people succumbing and and slipping. So when Yeshua was at Yericho, suddenly he picks up his eyes. It was during nighttime after the while they were laying siege on Yericho, and he sees this man who appeared to be a man. And he says to him, "Are you on our side? Are you the other side?" And he says, "No, lo yikan itzar tzvar Hashem. Actually, I'm from Hashem. I'm a malach. Atabasi. Here I am." How could Yeshua bow to this figure in the middle of the night? A person is not meant to offer peace to a person at night. Maybe it's really an evil demon, it's a shade. Ain't I meant to say the word Shalom, which is really a reference to Hashem's name? One of Hashem's names is Shalom. You shouldn't address a shade with that term. And certainly you shouldn't bow to him. Well, Shani Hasam, it was different. Because he identified himself as a Malach of Hashem, not a shade. Maybe it's really a shade who's just falsifying his identity. The answer is Gemiru. We know for a fact a shade would not express Hashem's name for naught. The fact that he referenced Hashem by name indicates that it was real and genuine. Amalei, so the Malach turned to Yeshua. You know what? I have several complaints. Emesh, yesterday in the evening, bitaltem tamet shel b'arba'im. You overlooked. You suspended the tamet, the afternoon tamet, because the arayin was out of place, it was during wartime, and you didn't bring the carbon. But now, when there's a hiatus in action, there's no war going on now, you're laying siege, but you're on break, right? But Tatam Tamaturi, not learning. So what's going on? A lazy man boss. So Yeshua responded, okay, we have two possible violations. Which is the one that you're coming to punish us? Why are you threatening us? Because he was holding a sword, open sword. He says, what's the complaint here? Amalei, he says, surprisingly enough, Torah, Talmud Torah, Atabasi. I'm here because of your current Bittul Torah, Miyad. So Yeshua took immediate lesson, and next time around, he was careful that they took along their Svarim and they learned. Vayelon Yeshua b'alei lumetecha emek, next war during Ai. So at nighttime, they went back to their learning. V'amar v'yechon melamed, we learned Shalom b'umke shalacha. He went into the plume, the depths of Torah. Imagine. Out there in the Hicks, laying siege, they grabbed every opportunity that they could find to learn Torah. Keim chayinu. Amar Shmor, Unim Shmei, the Rav Godol, we learn from here that Godol Talmud Torah, Yosem, Akrabas Tmidim, learning Torah is more valuable than bringing Karbanish, Namar, because what did the Malach focus on? Torah, Atabasi, over the Karban Talmud. Amar Le Abayla Rav Dimi, Haikra. We have a Pasuk in Mishle, interesting Pasuk. B'ma'arov b'ma'muk misulot, there in Eretz Yisrael, how do you explain the Pasuk? Which reads like this. Al teitzei lariv maher. Don't jump into a debate in haste. Pen ma tasa b'achrisa, you might end up failing. B'achlam oischa re'echa. Rivcha riv es re'echa v'soid achar altigal. Okay, what does this mean? So he responded. It's referring to a story, an episode, a conversation that Hashem had with Yechezkel. B'shoa sh'omala kodesh bochel Yechezkel, and Hashem turns to Yechezkel Navi. Give Kal Yisrael Musar. Leich emor lehem Yisrael, tell Kol Yisrael, Avicha emori v'imecha chitis. Your forefather Avram, he comes from emori, your mother from chitis. So basically, you have nothing to be proud about, you're right? Your current behavior doesn't really reflect good beginnings. Okay, this is a way to sort of put them, in their place. Amra rach biskoinis. So when this was uttered to Yechezkel by Hashem, so the Malach Gavriel, he's called Ruach Biskoinis, we'll see in a minute why, he responds to Hashem, L'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you saying it this way? Just because you have complaints on Klal Yisrael, why are you putting their forefathers, the Tzadikim, Avram and Sarah, in negative light? Imagine Avram and Sarah come personally to you, Hashem. You're going to use these terms and refer to them as a Moiri, a Chitis, and embarrass them? Riv Chariv, Esrei Echa. If you have, Musar to tell your friend, to tell Klal Yisrael, just do it directly to them on their account, on their behavior. V'seid achar al tegal. Don't reveal other secrets. Don't reveal, faults with their forefathers. Okay. Umi isle reshusa kulihai. Does Gabriel have this ability to respond to Hashem in such a forceful manner? And yeah, Hashem gives him that ability. The Amar Reis Rachanina Shol Hashem Yisrael. He has three names actually: Piskoin and Itmoin and Sigroin. Why? Piskoin Shepoisek Dvarim Kapi Mala. Hashem empowers him to actually issue stern statements. And Shemayim Itmoin. What is that for? Shoitim Avinasem Shel Yisrael. He has the koyach to cover up, to block away the wrongdoings of Klal Yisrael. And finally, Sigroin. Because Kimish Soiger, once he can no longer speak because of the overwhelming Averis or whatever, that he is no longer able to counter them and find, you know, compassion. Shuv Eine Peseach. Once he's out of business, nobody else, no other Malach could even attempt to defend. Because he, you know, he's the biggest advocator in Shemayim. Okay, we have a pasuk in Eliv, actually, which reads, Hayaruch Shu'acha Loi Vitzor. So this was Eiv's friends telling him, look, Hayarach Shu'acha, Shu'acha is your tefillah. Did you attempt to daven Loi Bitzar, to preempt these tragedies? Why'd you wait until you're stuck? You should have davened to Hashem in advance. An ounce of prevention, right? Amar B'Lazar, we learned a wonderful lesson. Lo'ilam yakdim adam tefillah tzar. A person should daven before he faces hardship. Shalom Molei hikdim Avram tefillah tzar. Bein beis elu bein a'ay. When Avram Avinu was stationed between Beis El and I, he quickly did a tefillah. And if not for that tefillah, Lin Yishtair, Misanayim, Shal Yisrael, Sora, Depod, all of Klal Yisrael would have been destroyed. Sanayim is a euphemism. Not even a remnant. Basically, Avram Avinu's tefillah protected us that during that sad episode in the I war, only some, 36, or maybe just one Tzaddik died, but no more than that. And that was because Avram Avinu's tefillah, which preempted that tragedy. Rish Lakish Amar. A different shot in this pasuk of Hayaruch Shu'acha Loi Vitzar. He learns, Kolam Amitz Asmei Vitfilu Milamata. A person expends great effort to daven for his needs down here. Loi Vitzar means Ein Loi Tzar Milamala. That puts all his opponents in Shemayim, all those malachim that try to oppose him, puts him out of business. Third pshat, Rabbi Yechon Amar, Loi Lomai Vakish Adam Rachman. A person should always daven to Hashem shiyu akol ma'amtzin es koichai va'al yu loitzara milamala, that Hashem should send malachim to encourage him, to strengthen him, to protect him, and protect him from opposition in Shemayim. So yarach shu'acha, the person should present his tefillah loitzara in a way that he should be protected from prosecutors and malachim that are looking to nail him. Menayin shekibri levidu'yay. Back to the Mishnah, Achan, his confession actually atoned for him. Tana Rabbanan, Menayin Shekibul Levidui. How do we know it had an effect? That it actually cleansed him. Shenemar Vayomel Yeshua Machartanu. Yeshua turns to him and says, Why did you put us in such a bad situation? Yarcha Hashem, Yakarcha Hashem Ayimazeh. Hashem will, punish you today. And we learn from Hayyamazah to Ochr, you're in this bad state only today. Viyata Ochr Leil Mabob, and Mabob, you will not have this trouble because your Vidoy cleansed you for the long term. Uksiv, we have another pasuk, which will teach us likewise that he was Zechad Leil Mabob, because here he was called Acham. But in Dibre Hayyamim, he's called Zimri, Ubnei Zarach, who are his sons of Zarach, Zimri, which is Acham. As the Gemara later will tell us, Ve'esam lehemon v'chalkoil v'dara, kulam chamisha, total of five. My kulam chamisha. What does kulam chamisha mean? They're all in the same boat, all in the same status. Even Zimri, a.k.a. Achain, kulan chamisha, hein al haba, all five will arrive at al haba, and even he earns his chelik al haba because of his confession, because of his teshuva, because of his acknowledgement. Ksiv Zimri, ksiv Achain. So how do we explain this discrepancy? Here we call him Achan, there he's called Zimri. Rabbi Shmuel, we have two explanations. Chadama one explains, his real name was Achan, Achan Shemai. V'lo manikru Shemai Zimri, why was he called Zimri as well? Sh'asamasa Zimri, because, as we learned late, earlier, he was involved with immoral activity, like Zimri, who did likewise with Kazbi Bastur. Chadama, the other one explains, that his true name was Zimri, Zimri Shemoy, Velomen Kishmoy Achen. Why was he given the added name Achen? Sheichen. Avin Hashem Sheisrael, because he presented his actions when Megalgal, they refreshed the sins of Kal Yisrael by Hashem and brought about punishment. Imeini Deli Sivadis. if you can't get around to do the detailed vidui, so we tell him, look, give a general confession. Rabbi Daimer, well, if he has confidence in his position, he believes that he was just, framed. This is regarding an ordinary person, a person who was being condemned in the Bezdin. So he can say, look, I'm okay getting kapara for everything except for this, because this is just a false thing, and the Chacham disagree. We don't allow him to do this because everybody will do it. Lanakis Atzman, to cleanse themselves and clean their reputation. Asks tomorrow, who cares? Vinako Atzman, let everybody do that. Claim to be innocent, and what's wrong? Because it affects everybody. It puts the Bezdin in bad light. People will start thinking, well, they'll start questioning the Bezdin. Perhaps they didn't, they made an erroneous decision. It puts the Edom in bad light as well, as though they're just, falsifiers. Tanarabana, we have a story in this regard. This fellow is being taken out to being killed. Amar, he says, you know what? I'm promising to you. I don't have this sin. I didn't do this wrong. This Avera. And if in fact, if I am guilty of this particular sin that you're killing me for, so you know what? I don't want my death to atone for any of my Averas. He's trying to make his point. If I have this sin on me, then my Misa should not atone for anything. If in fact I am innocent from this sin, then my Misa should be mechaper my Averas. And he continued, he said, you know what? I'm going to put the blame where it belongs. All of Yisrael in the Bezdin, look, they were tricked into it. I'm not holding them accountable. I'm oichel them, right? But the Edom, those bad guys who framed me, the Edom lo yiteilem michilal oilam, they'll never be forgiven. That was his, last statement. Now, when the Chacham heard about this story, Amr, they said, look, lachziro yiyafshar, we can't undo his verdict. Too late. Shikfar nigzur gezer, it's been issued. Eliyahar, we have to kill him. Koilar, toloi betzaver Edom. And the Edom, they'll have to suffer the consequences because they're liars. So they'll get their punishment, but we can't do anything. Pshito, obviously, we can't undo it. I mean, what's the point of even mentioning Kol Kamina? What right does he have to undo his own verdict? Just because he's claiming? Like, why would we even consider it? The answer is, like, Tzricha must be speaking the Kohadri Busadi. After this really scary announcement, the Edom got shaken up and they turned around and reversed their testimony. Asks the Gemara, just because they reversed themselves, it's too late. We can't. It wouldn't be even a consideration to undo. Kivan shehigid shuv eni chayzer magid. Halacha is once Edom testify, they can't undo their testimony. Now to talk about. Leitzricha apparently was speaking the afagav the kayavi tamal masayu. Even if the Edom have good reason to explain themselves, to justify why they falsified their testimony. And we see there's some credence to what they were saying. Still, it's too late. We can't reverse it. In the brackets, we have an example of such a story. Kahu Masa. There was a story, the Baya Michsa, with a Moiches, a tax collector, who was an evil man. And Rashi, on the left side, has a whole long account, great detail, as to what happened there. And ultimately, what happened was that the Edom came to reverse their testimony, and we didn't accept their reversal. So what happened? There was a bad guy. He was a tax collector. He was a dishonest tax collector. And when he died, his coffin got mixed up, got switched with a great tzaddik's coffin who died on that very same day. And it turns out that this Rasha was buried in a place of great honor instead of the tzaddik. And the Talmud of the great tzaddik who realized the mix-up, who was not being paid attention to, he felt terrible. And that night he had a dream with his Rebbe, and he explained to him why, in fact, he was punished, and why the tax collector got this, schar, this great honor. Rashi explains because the tzaddik once heard something being expressed negatively about a Talmud Chacham, he didn't protest as he should have. Therefore, he got his punishment. On the flip side, the tax collector, one time, prepared a whole meal for the mayor, and he didn't show up, so he took the food and he gave it out distributed it to the tzedakah, so he got that schar, that he got this kavod. In any case, the Talmud Chacham continued and told his Talmud in his dream that the Rasha, the tax collector, he only had a temporary honor, but really he's in Gehenim. He's in Gehenim, and he's going to be there until a special place in Gehenim that's going to be occupied until the next candidate comes. Who's the next person that's going to occupy that serious place in Gehenim? Shimon ben Shatach. What's wrong? What is he doing wrong? Why is he deserving of such a punishment? Because there are machshefes, women that are involved in sorcery in the town of Ashkelon, and he's not taking care of them. He's not carrying out his responsibilities. He's not getting rid of the machshefes, and that's why he's going to suffer severely. He's going to be punished severely. So the Talmud woke up and he ran to Shimon ben Shatach and warned him. He says, look, this is what I heard about you. You're going to be sorry. You're going to you quickly get your act together. So immediately Shimon ben Shatach went and somehow was able to kill them. He was able to get a whole crew of 80 strong youngsters, and he got the machshefes to he tricked them, and he got them out of their comfort zone, out of their place, and he was able to kill them and whatever. And two of the relatives of these machshefes were very, very burning mad on Shimon ben Shatach upon killing their relatives, and they concocted a story as though Shimon ben Shatach's son is chayav misa, committed a sin which earns him death. And they came to testify in the Bezdin, and he was condemned to death. And then the Edom had a change of heart, right? Because the condemned person made that declaration. He says, look, I'm not responsible. It's really a frame-up and all that. And the Edom are going to suffer greatly for what they did to me. And that shook them up, and they decided to change their story. It's too late. Chacham could not accept it anymore, and they carried out their verdict. So that's just an example of this type of case. Tzalts b'ashert ben ha-shamayim, orchestrated by the one above. Whether we understand it or not, gamzu l'tayv. Once heard a beautiful pshat from Reb Shimon Russell from Lakewood. He says, "Hoydu l'Hashem ki toiv ki lo'olam chazdoi." What does that mean? Hoydu l'Hashem ki toiv ki lo'olam, should acknowledge Hashem's goodness because it's eternal. What does that mean? Sometimes you don't see it. In the moment, you don't see the goodness. But hoyda is still in place if we really recognize. In the long term, we see that's going to be good, and we believe that lo'olam chazdoi. If you look at the long term, ultimately, it's for the good. It's only for our good. So that explains the first part of the pasuk as well. Hoyd l'Hashem ki toiv. Be moid Hashem, because everything is good, even though it's black, difficult, torturous in the moment. But really believe down there that Hashem wouldn't do it if it wasn't for our best. Hashem loves us. There's no other reason for our existence if not for Hashem's expression of goodwill. We're all, in our very existence, manifestations of Hashem's toiva. Ki lo'olam chazdoi. All the best to you, and atzlacha.